This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. And no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do you think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets? I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it's all accomplished. And therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take part of that as my text this morning. In fact, just one verse from that reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and in particular, verse 20. Chapter 5 and verse 20, which you can find on page 963 of your pew Bible. How's that? Page 963. Notice it again. And Jesus said, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus seems to be saying, in not so many words, that a mere show of righteousness is not enough. A mere show of righteousness is not enough. And indeed, merely appearing righteous to others is not enough. Or at least this is the conclusion that we would draw if we're familiar with the scribes and the Pharisees, whom Jesus uses here to establish a point of comparison. Which I suppose brings us to our first point, and that is that the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was not a true righteousness, but only a mere show of righteousness. That is to say, they weren't really righteous. They merely appeared to be righteous. And that's how they wanted to appear to others, and very much so. But it was all a show. And it wasn't real. In fact, in this same Gospel of Matthew, we come on to the 15th chapter, beginning at the first verse, and we read, as Matthew says, "And then the Pharisees and the scribes," which is what the people that Jesus mentioned here in our text, "they came to Jesus from Jerusalem," verse 7 of chapter 15, "and Jesus said to them, 'You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah the prophet say of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Or coming to the famous diatribe that Jesus levels against the Pharisees and the scribes in chapter 23. And we read, "And then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. And so do and observe whatever they tell you, but don't do what they do, for they preach, but they do not practice.'" This made me think of the template that Ezra the priest followed, which is the proper one. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, and we read, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of God and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules to Israel." To study it, to know it, to do it, and to teach it. And the scribes and Pharisees failed to do the most important part, one might say. They knew it and they taught it, but they didn't do it. And so Jesus continues in Matthew 23, beginning at verse 5, "And the scribes and the Pharisees," Jesus says, "do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad." That'll send you to the Bible dictionary. But the phylacteries were like leather straps, and at the center of it was a leather box, and inside were key scriptures to the people of Israel, and they would wrap it around the head. You might have seen people, you know, maybe at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem praying this way, and then wrap it around their arm so that it's close to the heart, because the scripture says, "Write these things on your forehead and write them on the tables of your heart." And so they take these things and make them real broad so you can see them and go, "Wow, those are the best looking phylacteries I've ever seen. That guy must be really holy." The scribes and Pharisees do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, the fringes on their prayer shawls. And they love the places of honors at feasts and the best seats in the synagogue. And greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. Verse 23, "Woe to you," Jesus said, "scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law." That is, you do all of this stuff, tithing on your herb gardens, but you neglect the weightier matters, the things that really matter to God, such as justice, fairness, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides. And that's the kind of guide you don't want. That's like having a GPS that doesn't work. You blind guides, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees. And that's the trouble, isn't it? How that hypocrisy and blindness go hand in hand, unfortunately. As someone has written, hypocrisy is not hypocrisy to a hypocrite. Or David Paul Tripp in his book, Dangerous Calling, he wrote this, "Although we're able to see the sins of others and specify with specificity and clarity, we tend to be blind to our own sins." Added to this very dangerous spiritual condition is that the spiritually blind tend to be blind to their own blindness. Somebody else asked, "Well, how can you help what can you do to help a hypocrite?" And the answer is, not much. Because of this condition. And so Jesus continues in chapter 23, "You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which without appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all putrid uncleanness. And so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within You are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness, you serpents. You brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Jesus says. And so Jesus says in our text, given the weightiness of the matter, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so that's the first thing. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was not a true righteousness, but only a mere show of righteousness, which brings us then to our second and final point. And that is that a mere show of righteousness is just not enough. Notice again, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus says, for I tell you, it's very interesting. The phrase serves as an introduction to the stating of a fundamental principle, a sine qua non, without which nothing, if you like. In other words, Jesus is saying, you need to get this because this is how it works. In fact, you might note that in the New Living Translation, this sentence is started, and because the translators wanted the reader to understand that this is a warning, basically, and it is essentially a warning. And so the New Living Translation begins this sentence, but I warn you. And so he says in verse 20, for I tell you, or I warn you, and unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, we just described them as Jesus described them and as is recorded in other parts of this same Gospel of Matthew. But the scribes and the Pharisees, simply put, were leaders of the religious establishment in Jesus' day. The scribes were scholars and teachers. And therefore, they were experts in the law of Moses and in the traditions of the rabbis. And as it happens, most of the scribes were also Pharisees, which was at the time of Jesus, a very influential and highly regarded lay group. They weren't priests, but they took the scriptures and their tradition extremely seriously, and were committed to applying the law of Moses and the tradition of the rabbis to all and every aspect of their lives and the lives of others, we mustn't forget. But as we saw, and as Jesus describes, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was only a show. They knew and they taught, but they didn't do. And so Jesus tells us, lest we think that's okay. And some people do, even in Christ's church. Jesus says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, indeed, the qualifying characteristic of true righteousness is authentic righteousness. That is true virtue, as opposed to a mere show of virtue, which is not only not a virtue, but a vice and a deception. Do I need to remind you that the devil is the great deceiver? Living like this and thinking like this is a deception. It's a deception to anyone who thinks it's enough, and it's a deception to anyone who's seeing it and thinking that that is true righteousness. And so Jesus tells us in verse 20, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so by reverse application, Jesus says that those who will populate the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven yet to come, will be those who practice an authentic righteousness. that is a personal righteousness that exceeds and is fundamentally and necessarily better, according to God's standard, than the hypocrisy and the so-called righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about what someone has written, quote, doing is a lot easier when the action required rises naturally out of who I really am. Let me read that again. Doing is a lot easier when the action required rises naturally out of who I really am. It is good character that gives rise to truly good works. And so while we and our default setting, when we are faced with these sorts of subjects, might be to focus on, you know, what we need to do, perhaps the true starting point instead, in this case, is to focus on who we need to be. Because righteousness is as righteousness does. Amen? Amen. A mere show of righteousness is not enough. Let us pray. We know this, I think. Even a hypocrite doesn't like hypocrisy. He just doesn't recognize that he's part of the problem. Oh, Lord, give us eyes to see. Indeed, Lord, how awful will it be? Even as we think of Jesus saying, and not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But in that day, they'll stand before me and I'll say, I don't know you. And they'll say, Lord, but we healed in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we did all of these religious things and we were leaders in the church. But our righteousness only of a quality equal to the scribes and the Pharisees and Lord Jesus, and God forbid, and you will say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Lord, deliver us in your mercy and grace from such a deception as that, lest our soul be damned, even as Jesus says in the scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name.